you, sir. The book of Job tonight. Let's stand together. Job chapter number 1. Man, I enjoyed that choir singing. I really like that. I'll tell you, there ain't a praise team anywhere that can beat that. I enjoyed that so much. And I like that song, I'm Still Amazed. I've never got over the wonder that God in mercy and grace came to where I was. If I got what I deserved, I'd already be in hell. But when justice called, mercy answered. How many acres of land y'all got down here? We ought to just shout it all out on every acre, praise God. And old Billy Kelly said he's preaching one time in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And said he said to the congregation, he said, bless God, if I was in Washington, D.C., I'd run down Pennsylvania Boulevard praising God. He said, about that time the Lord said, what's wrong with Roswell Street? He said, not a thing. And he run out from under the tent and run around two blocks and came back, and the congregation had left. They thought he had went home. But I'm glad old-time religion's alive and well. And the only ones that don't like it are those who never had any. Because if you ever get a good dose of it, it'll help you. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, raise both of them. Hold them up now. Just wave them out there real good. And the Lord is good. Good to be back with you again tonight. Job chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 6. Now there was a day. And may I stop and say, and what a day that was. In fact, that day for Job turned into 365 of them. And I'm telling you, one of those days is going to come to your house. And one of them days is going to come to my house. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now before I read the next verse, how many agree with me on this? That the devil was probably up to no good. I'll tell you what he's doing. He's walking up and down trying to find somebody to fling misery and despair on. And by the way, the last time I read the New Testament, it said our adversary, the devil, is still at it. As a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's our foe. He's our adversary. He's our enemy. The Bible said in verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschewereth evil? Verse number 9, then Satan answered the Lord, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him? Evidently the devil knew about him too. And I believe that, Lord have mercy, I just thought about this. I believe the devil was more afraid of Job than Job was afraid of the devil. I'll be all right in a minute. Lord have mercy. He knew about that old boy. And he knew that God had, glory. Praise God, I want to run. If I wasn't so fat, I would, praise God. Boy, don't you like it when you see something you never seen before? I mean, the devil didn't really want to mess with him. Oh, I love that. Hast thou not made? Whoo, I'll be okay in a minute. That's good. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Boy, listen to this. Hast thou not blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? I mean, even Satan knew that God had blessed this man by the name of Job. I'm about to tickle me to death right there. I love that. Look down in verse 11. Now notice what Satan says. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You know what Satan is telling God? The only reason why he serves you is because you've been good to him. And the only reason why he serves you is because you blessed him. All that stuff you give him. But you take away that stuff, he'll curse you to your face. But what the devil didn't know, there are some people tonight that love God for who he is more than what God has done. Curse thee that I face. Verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, put not forth thine hand. Read this out loud with me. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You may be seated. You say, Brother Joe, where did he go when he left the presence of the Lord? He went down to Job's house to try to mess with him and fling misery and despair upon him. And by the way, he's going to mess around your house. He'll mess around my house. But I want to preach tonight from this text on what the devil found when he went down to Job's house. And I hope what he found down at Job's house, he finds at your house and mine when he comes around. Now, Job would not have made a great illustration in a prosperity gospel sermon. Prosperity gospel says if you're saved and you're right with God, you won't ever have any trouble. You'll always have plenty of money. You'll always be famous. And you won't ever get sick. All I got to say is look in this crowd over, there's a lot of backsliders here tonight. Bible said that a man born a woman is a few days and he is full of trouble. And Job in our text was a man that loved God. Amen. He was a man that lived for God. He was a man that was clean. He was a man that was separated. He was a man that had the touch of God upon his life. Amen. But you think about this tonight. If you were Satan, who would you want to try to rob joy and peace and blessing from? Amen. And so Job, the Bible said, goes through this storm. And in one 24-hour period, Job loses everything that he had. Amen. If you'll study the life of Job, you'll find five things. You'll find that, number one, disaster took his fortune. Yeah. You'll find that disease tortured his flesh. You'll find that death touched his family. Yeah. You'll find deceit turned his friends. Uh-huh. And you'll find that the devil tempted his faith. But yet the Bible says, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And the devil was proven to be what God said he always has been, not just a liar, but the father of all liars. And I promise you tonight, if Satan had his way about it, he would destroy every man of God in this room tonight. If Satan had his way about it, he would destroy every young person in this room that has a potential for God. He would destroy every family. He would destroy every church. Because Satan's ultimate purpose in your life and mine is to get us to turn our back on God, curse God, deny God, and just turn away from what God has done in our life. But brother, I'm glad tonight that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm glad where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I'm glad the Bible says there is no temptation that can come our way that God is able to make a way of escape. And let me run to the end of the story. Job didn't turn. Job didn't curse God. Job didn't turn away from God. Job went in that storm a child of God, and he come out of that storm a child of God. Job went in that storm trusting God, and he came out of that storm trusting God. And Job didn't just survive, he thrived. Can I say that again? Job did not just survive, he thrived. In fact, Job had more in the end than he had in the beginning. Now you go home to your computer or break out your laptop or your iPad and try to compute how a man can lose and lose and gain and gain. It's going to say information unavailable, because the world don't understand how you can lose and lose and lose and lose and gain and gain and gain and gain. But what they don't understand, this friend of Job's, this Savior of Job's, this God of Job's is a heavenly accountant. And it's God that knows our heart. And it's God that pleases our cause. And it is God that keeps the score. And I'm glad to tell you, no matter how bad it hurts, how bad it tastes, how bad it feels, how bad it smells, how bad it sounds, God is still on the throne, and there's victory in serving God. What did the devil find when he went down to Job's house? I hope he finds it at your place and mine when he comes to mess around our place. Number one, if you will, tonight, look in chapter number 1 and verse number 20. You know what Satan discovered down there at Job's house? He found a man that would worship God's person. He found a man that would worship God's person. You know what the devil wanted to find? He wanted to find somebody bad-mouthing God. He wanted to find somebody blaspheming God. He wanted to find somebody that would spew out all kind of insults to the holy sovereign God of heaven. But I want to say to the devil, surprise, surprise, surprise. He goes down to Job's house. He's flung everything on him he's got to fling. And Job is down. He is down in the ashes. I mean, he's broke out from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And he's in them ashes. And boy, I see the devil. He's got this grin on his face. And he says to the demons, watch him. Here's where he does it. Here's where he pulls a cussing fit. Here's where he just blasphemes God. I mean, hell is silent. I mean, the birds are not singing. The wind is not blowing. The leaves are still. All eyes are upon Job. The angels is watching. His family is watching. His enemies are watching. His persecutors are watching. All eyes are upon Job. What's he gonna do now? What's he gonna say now? And Job's little fingers begin to wiggle in the ashes. Job's muscles begin to tremble. All of a sudden, the Bible said, he arose. He's down, but he's not out. He's down, but he's not out. The devil stalked him down, laid him down, and put him down. But the devil can't keep him down. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. Bald-headed people just loved Jesus and shaved his head and fell back down upon the ground. And the Bible said he griped and he grumbled and he whined and he bellyached and complained. No, that's what them funny Bibles say. The real Bible said in Job, worship God. He worshiped God. He worshiped God. Job said, I'm going to clear me off a place and I'm just going to praise him. I'm going to adore him. I'm going to worship him because he is worthy. He didn't curse God. He didn't blaspheme God. He didn't grumble at God. The Bible said he worshiped. Boy, I heard a fella say the other day, Lord, create a worshipful atmosphere in our service. And I know what he's trying to say, but I want to tell you, God doesn't create the atmosphere of worship. Worship creates the atmosphere for God to get in the service. I promise you, the atmosphere in Job chapter number 1 is not an atmosphere of gaiety. It's not an atmosphere of laughter. It is not an atmosphere of something good's going to happen to you today. Brother, it was an atmosphere of grief and pain and loss. The atmosphere stinks. It looks like worship ought to be the furthest thing from the agenda. But you remember this, God doesn't create the atmosphere for you to worship him. Worship by faith and praise by faith creates the atmosphere for God to step out of his world and into your world, because the Bible said the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Shout to something happens. Worship God to something happens. Glorify God to something happens. You say, well, we want to make sure God is in it. Hey, God is always in. What are his children saying? I love you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. He likes it. And I love that word, worship. It comes from a word that means worth-ship. Real worship is when your spirit has been overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God. And from a broken and a contrite heart, you're just telling God how much he's worth. I'm not worth much. Most of my buddies ain't worth much. But if you want to talk about him, he's worth it. He's worth our love. He's worth our praise. He's worth our adoration. He is worth our worship. I just want to say worthy, worthy, worthy. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, amen. I mean, when the storm comes, when tragedy comes, when the devil comes, God is still good, and God is still awesome, and God is still sovereign, and God is still great. He's worth my praise. He's worth my shout. He is worth my Lord. What does he mean to you tonight? What is his worth in your heart tonight? I say he's worthy to be worshiped. He's God, and besides him, there is none else. You say, well, Brother Joe, the Bible doesn't say that he worshiped God. Well, let me ask you this. Who else is he worshiping? I'll tell you this. He's not worshiping his kids. They're dead. He's not worshiping his financial portfolio because it's gone. He's not worshiping his health. That's gone too. You say, well, why is he worshiping God? Because right now God is the only stable influence in his life. Everything's left him but God. Everybody's left him but God. All he got. All he's got. He's only got God. But I found that, young uns, hallelujah. When God is all you got, he's still enough. In fact, he's not just enough. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Hallelujah and glory and blessed be the name of the Lord. Worshiped. And I love what Job said. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Job had enough faith in God that whatever God took or whatever God gave, he couldn't do nothing but right. I saw a man the other day going through a hard time, and I said, man, how's it going? He said, God done me wrong. He said, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at God right now. God's done me wrong. I said, sir, let me tell you something. I'm sorry you've gone through what you've gone through, and he has gone through a lot, and I'm sorry. I said, sir, but I want to tell you, God's never done you wrong. God's never done anybody else wrong. I may not be able to understand God, explain God, figure out God, but I'll tell you one thing about him. He's good and he's right. Job said he gave and then he took. But he said, I've come to this conclusion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I remember growing up, I grew up by myself. All my sisters were 10 years older than me. And so I didn't have nobody to play with. I was a latecomer. I was a whoops, you know what I'm talking about. And all my sisters was just gone by the time I grew up. And so my daddy bought me a companion. He bought me this little boxer. And it was a little big old balloon plastic thing. You blowed air in it. And in the bottom of him was some sand. Boy, he was my buddy. I'd beat him up, then I'd hug him back. And ma'am, and I was growing up wrestling, you know, Wahoo McDaniel, Blackjack Mulligan, the Super Destroyer. And I mean, buddy, I'd put the figure four on him, the full Nelson, pile drive him, suplex him, butterfly. You know you're a redneck if you know all them wrestling moves. Sound like you've been watching it too, Bubba, amen. But my little old buddy, Brother Don, I could beat him. I could slam him. I could suplex him. I could pile drive him. I could high dive him. I can't do that no more, but I'd sidekick him. I'd get him into headlock, and I'd knock him down, But I want to tell you, every time, he'd just come right on back up again. Bam. He'd come right on back up again. I'd kick him and knock him down. He'd come right back on up again. And man, you know how little boys are. I said, I got to find out what's making him get back up again. So I got my knife, and I cut inside that thing. And I found out what kept him coming back up again. He had something on the inside that wouldn't let him stay down. Son, I want to tell you, a child of God tonight has got something down on the inside that won't let us stay down. The Lord's good. The Lord's great. The Lord's holy. The Lord is worthy. The Lord is precious. He saved our soul. He changed our life. He met our needs. He's been good to us. He's been good to us. He's great. He's holy. He's God. Let's worship him tonight. Woo! That's a far cry from cursing God. Job said, read my lips. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what that means in Greek? Hallelujah! Anyhow. Down in South Carolina, a friend of mine named Rudy Smith. Brother Rudy was dating a young girl that later on became his wife. She was a member of Balfour Baptist in Hendersonville. Curtis McCarley was there. Never got to meet that man of God, but they say he was an old-fashioned Holy Ghost preacher. Preached in the power of God. Well, they were building that big auditorium, and you pastors here, if you've ever been in a building program, it'll make a post-millennialist out of you. You'll thank you in the last 3.5 years out of tribulation. Brother, I saw you're building something over there. Don't you do like Noah did after his building program. He got drunk. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. And I mean, what ought to be a blessing. I promise you there are people that'll make it just as miserable as they can be. And most of the time, it's people that don't know one thing about building. Can I get a witness right there? Boy, everything had gone wrong that day. Everything had gone wrong that day, Brother Rudy said. He went with his girlfriend to a Wednesday night service and said when the man of God got up to preach, you could tell he was rattled. He couldn't even read his text. He couldn't pronounce the words. He couldn't even find the right verse. And said he'd stammer around there a little bit and stammer around. And Brother Rudy said he's usually a great preacher. He said his mind was so captivated by the responsibilities of pastoring that church. He could tell the devil was wearing him out. He said about 15 minutes of sputtering around. Said that man of God closed his Bible. Walked over to the side of the pulpit and said, hallelujah, feel it or not. Amen. Said he walked over there and said, glory to God, feel it or not. Said he walked back on this side and said, amen, feel it or not. Said he walked back on that side and said, praise the Lord, feel it or not. I said, what, Rudy, what happened then? He said, God came down, feel it or not. Amen. He said, the power of God hit that place. Them saints of God began to shout. Them young preachers began to run the aisles. People got blessed. People got saved. You say, what brought that on? It wasn't his sermon. It wasn't his illustration. It wasn't his three-point PowerPoint. It was God's people in spite of the storm, in spite of the pressure. Just by faith praising God and giving God the glory. I'm here to tell you tonight, somebody needs to clear him off a piece of ground and just bless his name and extol his name. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The devil found a man that would worship God's person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what some of you ought to do tonight? You ought to go home and get in the back room and turn the light out. Pull a curtain. Pull the blinds. Stuff towels under the cracks of the door. Make sure you turn the light out so the neighbors don't see your silhouette. And just get in that little old room and lift one hand and go, glory to God. And lift that other one and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You say, I don't feel like it. You do that two or three times, you'll get the feeling like it. Before you know it, brother, you're walking in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Brother Billy Kelly said in the early 70s, Dot called him on the phone in a revival and said, Billy, I've got a lump in one of my breasts. And the doctors are almost sure I got breast cancer. Brother Billy said, man, I got off the phone. And he said, all night long, I smelt flowers. I picked out a coffin. I took my little boy by the hand and he looked up and said, Daddy, when is Mama coming home? He said, I heard my pastor preach a funeral all night long. He said, for 4 long days in that revival, he said, I got so depressed that I lost my appetite. Now you look up in here. When a 400-pound man loses an appetite, something's got his nerves tore up. Said he got back home early that morning. Dot said, what do you want for breakfast? He said, I don't want nothing. I don't have an appetite. She said, you're sick. He said, oh, I'm fine. I just ain't hungry. She said, if you ain't hungry, you're sick. I'm telling you, you don't get to be 400 pounds by fasting. Said, after a while, she come out there and said, Billy, you want some lunch? He said, I ain't hungry. I don't want nothing to eat. She said, Billy, you're sick. He said, no, I ain't. Come out there and said, all right, Billy, it's supper time. I got some biscuits and gravy. He said, I don't want nothing to eat. She said, you're sick. Then she began to cry. She knew something was going on. Said, I went to bed that night and I heard the organ playing Precious Memories. I smelt the flowers. I saw my little boy look down at a casket and say, Daddy, when is Mama coming home? Said, I wrestled all night long. I got up that next morning. His wife said, you want some breakfast? He said, no, I ain't hungry. I'm just going to go out into the barn and feed the livestock. He said, boy, I got up there and started moping around. He said, then something hit me. He said, I heard an old-fashioned preacher say one time, when the clouds have gathered in and the sun don't shine, find your place and talk to God. He said, out across my pasture, I saw this big old tree. And I thought, God, I'm going to get to that tree and you'll meet me there. He said, I got under that tree and I was going to talk to God. And he said, about that time, I realized I was so confused, I didn't know anything to say. He said, I couldn't think of one thing to say to God. He said, I just got on my knees and looked in the ground and I didn't know anything to say. He said, I felt I was so far from God that I didn't know what to even tell God. And he said, about that time it hit him what he heard that preacher say after that. He said, and when you're still away to a place to pray and you don't know what to say, go to thanking God for something. He said, I thought I'd try that. He said, but I was so messed up, I couldn't even think of nothing to thank God for. He said, so finally I opened my eyes to get up and to mope around some more. And he said, I saw a little bug crawling on a piece of grass. And I said, God, thank you for that bug. Thank you for that piece of grass. And he said, I got to thanking God for the tree and the leaves and the clouds and the sun. Then he said, I got into thanking God for Jesus and saving my soul. And then he said, it wasn't long till I walked in to the Holy of Holies. He said, I want to tell you, when worrying didn't work, and when not eating didn't work, and when chewing my fingernails down to my knuckles didn't work, he said, I began to thank God and worship God and praise God, and the clouds rolled away. And you think about it, if God doesn't change anything, but yet he changes you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. He's worthy of our praise. He's a good God. Woo! You love him tonight? What is he worth to you? What is the worth of God to you? Is he worth an amen? Is he worth a hallelujah? Turn around to somebody and say, I'm going to praise him whether you do or not. He's worthy tonight. He's holy tonight. I got some more points, but I'm bogging in. Hey, he's wonderful. He's good. He's great. He's God. Listen to me. If he never does another thing, he's done enough. Oh my God, he's done enough for us to praise him to the glory world. When the devil went down to Job's house, he found a man that would worship God's person. Just in case he's snooping around Burke County camp meeting tonight, may he find somebody that'll say, glory, hallelujah, amen. He is worthy. Praise God. Man, whoo, I enjoyed that. Look, if you will, in chapter number 23, verse number 11 and verse number 12, he found a man that would worship God's person. I want you to come quickly to chapter number 23. Look what Job says in verse 11 and verse number 12. He said in verse number 11, my foot hath held its steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Read verse 12 out loud with me. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Well, glory. When the devil went to Job's house, he not only found a man that would worship God's person, but in these verses, he found a man that would walk in God's path. Job said in the five verses before this, I don't know what God's doing. I don't understand what God's doing. I don't have all the information. I don't know where he's at. In fact, I've gone forward, I've gone backwards, I've looked on my right, and right now I can't explain what's going on. But there's one thing I want you to know. You see these feet? Look where they're at. They're in the same place they was before this ordeal ever got started. I've held his steps. I've stood. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. I've stood my ground. I've kept. I've not gone back. I've not turned back. I'm still walking. I'm still walking. I'm still doing what God wants me to do. I want to tell you tonight, want to get the devil's nerves tore up, refuse to quit, refuse to turn back, and keep on walking in Jesus' name. Can I get honest with you tonight? There's something wrong with all of us. I mean by that, I got a problem, you got a problem, all of God's children got a problem. I got a weakness, you got a weakness. My weakness may not be your weakness may not be my weakness, but we all got one. You say, Brother Joe, what's yours? You think I'm going to tell that, bless God, in front of a bunch of Baptists? And the whole world blog it before I get back to the room? Brother, I love you. I believe you're a real man of God. But the devil can take the advantage of you. It's because I love you like a brother I've never had. I believe you're God's man. Stacy, I've loved you ever since I met you as a teenage boy. I'm telling you something. Every one of us has an area in our life that if we let down, the devil can set up a beachhead. And let me tell you something. No matter what avenue he approaches to get to you. See, what bothers this brother may not bother this brother. What he's got victory over, he may struggle with. What he struggles with, he may have complete victory over. But I promise you, there's something somewhere that the devil can use to wear all of us out. And no matter, here it is, no matter what avenue Satan walks up to get to you or me or him or them or they, his ultimate purpose is the same for all of us. What is it? Curse God. Turn your back on God. Quit going to church. Quit reading your Bible. Quit loving Jesus. Quit singing Amazing Grace. And just throw it all in and walk out and pull a Simon Peter and warm yourself by the devil's fire and say, I don't know him. You say, preacher, can a man really do that? Oh, dear God, the Bible is filled with men cursing God, denying God, walking away from God. And that's what the devil wants to do to all of us. Woo! But Job said, you look up here at me, you see these feet? They're in the same place they were before this here deal ever got started. I've held his steps. His way have I kept. I have not declined. I'm still walking in his path. I'm still headed in heaven's direction. I've been cussed. I've been misrepresented. I've been lied on. I've been slammed. I've been suplexed. I've been pal driven. I've been butterfly figured forward. High dived. I've had it all happen to me. But look at my feet. See them bare feet? They're in the same place they was. Before, beneath, and beyond, whoo, the burdens of life. Oh, let me say tonight, he's worth staying with. He's worth staying with.
Don't you get bitter. Don't you get your eyes off of God. Don't turn your back on God. Why do you want to do that? He's the best friend you ever had. Don't turn your back on God. Keep walking in His path. Keep reading the Bible. Keep going to church. Keep praising God. Keep singing Amazing Grace. The sun's going to shine again. God's going to be there. Oh, you can't go nowhere where God ain't already been. You can't go nowhere where God ain't already at. Don't turn it to right. Don't turn it to left. Just keep walking in Jesus' name. I will praise Him. I will serve Him. I will love Him. I will honor Him. I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to go to the church. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to love my family. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to throw in the towel. God's been too good to me. I'm not going to take out on God somebody else's bitterness. Why, God doesn't deserve my blasphemy. God doesn't deserve my bitterness. God doesn't deserve my unfaithfulness. God deserves at least for me to keep on walking. Amen. Keep on talking. Amen. Keep on trodding in a path. I want to say tonight, don't you quit. Don't you turn back. Don't you get bitter. Walk on in Jesus' name. Walk on in the Holy Ghost. Walk on in the Bible. Keep God's way. Keep God's step. Just keep on doing what you know to do, and everything's going to be all right. This lady said to me one time, she said, "Preacher, I'm not going to be here for a couple of weeks." And I know I shouldn't have said it, but I did. I said, "Well, that won't be nothing new for you and your family, sister." "Well, I know I shouldn't have done it. I asked God to forgive me." But I said, "What's wrong this time?" She said, "Well, I got issues at my house." I said, "Take a number and get in line. I got issues, you got issues, all I got chilling got issues." And she said, "Well, I don't want to mess up them good people that come to our church." I said, "We don't have anybody at our church that fits that description. All the good people go to somebody else's church. All the messed up people come to my place." Hello. She said, "But I just don't want to bother those good people." I said, "What, you don't understand them good people you set beside? They got storms. They got troubles. They got trials. But sitting at the house and sulking and self-pity has never settled anything. I tell you what you do. You get your stuff and I'll get my stuff, and we'll come together and leave our stuff and take home some of God's stuff. Walk on, walk on, walk on. He deserves better than that." I want to get real plain if I can. Brethren, just for a moment, can we pause the taping mechanism, because I want to get very personal and I don't want this to hurt somebody that I am trying to help. Am I safe?